Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You hear of lamentation and bitter weeping, the weeping cries of Rachel for her children. I mean, what's going on? And there's much to consider with all these types, themes, foreshadows, promises of God, where life is poured out so others may live and flourish. The matriarch Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel's longing for children culminates in the ultimate cost. She dies giving birth to their second son. You know, Joseph was their first. Her death, marked by sacrifice, longing to not live to see her sons. Before dying, she uttered her last words, "Ben Oni, son of my sorrows." Jacob will call him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Sorrow is swallowed up by hope. And Jacob erects a monument over her tomb, turning a place of loss into a lasting testimony. You know, Joseph, only 7 when his mom died, then 17 when brothers sold him into slavery, and all that will unfold to Egypt and his descendants in Exodus. You know, when the Jews were conquered, forcibly marched into exile following the destruction of the first temple, they stop at Rachel's burial site. I mean, her identity as a yearning mother gave the people fortitude as they passed by her on their way to exile, reassuring them that God will keep his promise to return them. I mean, it's what you heard today from Jeremiah 31. That Rachel, her family, more than any biblical figure, connected to the exile and return to Jerusalem, to Zion, the place for God and man to dwell. God fashioned a mighty line from this final son, Benjamin. And King Saul and Mordecai and Queen Esther and St. Paul. Yeah, I mean, from Rachel's grave emerges a tribe that supplies leadership, courage, gospel proclamation. Her sacrifice births ongoing influence. And for generations, even at the time of Jesus, Rachel's monument, just outside Bethlehem, a geographical bookmark, reminding every traveler that covenant blessings often flow through costly suffering. Remember both the cost and the covenant. Encouraging faith as God brings blessings out of brokenness. God endears his people, encouraging faith and to remain faithful even when it costs dearly. Know his covenant promise lasts forever. You know, Rachel's brief final verse resonates through Scripture, linking a mother's sacrificial death to a lineage of deliverers and ultimately the Savior. I mean, her grave is marked to this day. And Rachel's death, Jesus' birth at Bethlehem, ties her story to the grand arc of redemption, where the ultimate sacrificial birth occurs for the sake of eternity for God's children. That brings us to today. There's not much joy that surpasses the birth of a child. Look at Claire and some of the moms. Yeah, yeah. There's not much sadness that surpasses the death of a child. We celebrate the joy of Christmas birth. Today, sadness of death intrudes. The holy innocents, they're called. Rachel's descendants. All the baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 and under, run through by sword by order of a fanatical King Herod, who do whatever it takes to keep his throne, sees a child as a threat. Now, King Herod murdered not just Bethlehem's baby boys, but also killed his wife, 3 sons, family members. I mean, he had prominent men gather in Jerusalem and executed at the time of his death to ensure that there'd be much mourning throughout the land when he died. Evil man. And so today's sin intrudes on our Christmas story. The silent night we sang just a few nights ago in candlelight is broken by the sound of soldiers' marching boots, lamentation, bitter weeping of Rachel's mothers for her children, unrequited comfort, the evil work of a tyrant king who thinks he's gotten rid of another rival. It's not exactly a Hallmark moment. Doesn't seem merry Christmas, does it? I mean, perhaps it would be more Christmassy to speak of this at some other time or ignore it. But no. The church always proclaims the brutal reality of the truth. For only in the truth about evil, sin, and our Savior can give us the hope, the joy that you crave. You know, Satan doesn't cease to attack during the 12 days of Christmas season. You know, those Bethlehem baby boys attacked simply because they resemble Christ. And that is why you too are attacked. For baptized into his name by faith, connected to Christ, robed with Christ, his righteousness, you too are the enemy. That little town of Bethlehem of greeting cards and carols becomes ground zero in Satan's attack and warfare against Christ and his church. But you are safe. You cannot be lost. Mourning is turned to joy. Satan, along with evil men, cannot truly harm you nor take what is yours. For you, the Christ is born. And songs of peace ring out on Bethlehem hills and in Jerusalem on Holy Week. True peace Jesus establishes between heaven and earth, between God and man, Zion, for eternity. The peace that comes only through forgiveness as our adoption as sons of God. Yeah. For this is the peace, joy, and hope that transcends the sorrows and problems of this life and world. That doesn't ignore them, but it sees us through the struggles. I mean, we even pray, deliver us from evil, knowing that your Savior is come. Your Father keeps all of his promises. Places of grief for his children become monuments of hope as the Lord weaves sorrow into his redemptive story. You might think it seems unfair that the baby boys of Bethlehem died as Jesus might escape. It actually is the other way around. He will give his life and blood for them on the cross. That though they weren't in the arms of their mothers, that they would be cradled in the arms of our Father. Though they seem to die, yet really, now, they live. A life even greater than the one they lost. A life that cannot be cut down in youth or old age. The life of an eternal Christmas with their Father in heaven. The boys of Bethlehem weren't lost any more than you've lost any of your loved ones in Christ. And their mothers find comfort in the wounds of Jesus who died also for them. They've been reunited with their sons, never separated again. Already now, after maybe 40 long years of grief here on earth without their babies, they've enjoyed over 2,000 years in perfect bliss. So too, in the fullness of time, Christmas for you. You receive the life of God, that adoption as child and heir, spoken by St. Paul. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You cry out, Abba, our Father, joined to Christ, his death in the waters of holy baptism. As we see with Lucia, raised to new life, a dear child of God, a holy, innocent ones. And forgiveness of sins. A new life. That however, whenever, wherever our life here ends, that we be cradled in the arms of our Father in heaven. The holy innocents today do not spoil the spirit of Christmas, but teach us something about Christmas. That though they do not sing like angels or bring gifts like the Magi or worship like the shepherds, nevertheless, in them, you also see yourself, your family, your brothers, dear children to him. Jeremiah 31 still rings true. And a few verses later, God declares an eternal new covenant in his blood as the innocent one. The holy innocent one sacrificed his life, shed his blood that you might live. Even if we didn't have Micah's prophecy, so fitting, Jesus needs to be in Bethlehem. Born in the very shadow of Rachel's tomb. And Rachel's words ring out as her descendants, the only son, is also called a son, a man of sorrows. And even now, son at the right hand of the Father for you. Even more. In this new covenant, you partake his life that cannot end. A truly Merry Christ Mass for Rachel, her children, her descendants, Lucia, you. As the Lord fulfills his promises to take care of you, and not just for now, but for eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.